This is U.S. Vice President Joe Biden. His task force has come up with a list of recommendations on addressing gun violence in the U.S. It's given that list to President Obama. We should know sometime today what his next step will be. There are a couple different paths the president could take. One would be to encourage Congress to change laws like banning assault weapons or requiring background checks on buyers at gun shows. But not everyone in Congress would support that, and the National Rifle Association is working to prevent any new restrictions on guns. There's something else the president could do, though, give an executive order. U.S. presidents have been giving out executive orders since 1789. Why? Because they can. An executive order is a law made instantly with the president's signature. The advantage for a president is that it doesn't have to go through Congress. The disadvantage, say critics, is that it doesn't have to go through Congress. And some critics say use of executive orders may violate the constitutional separation of powers. In fact, the term executive order isn't in the Constitution. What is in Article 2, Section 3 is that the president shall take care that the laws be faithfully executed. So if a president feels that Congress isn't faithfully executing the laws he wants, he can issue an executive order. They do have their limits, though. Executive orders can't use federal money, for one thing. So a president couldn't use one to cut taxes or build a bridge, for example. The orders can be overturned by a court, and the next president can get rid of a previous order. Presidents ain't shy about giving new ones, though. According to the National Archives, two-term President Bill Clinton gave 364 executive orders. Two-term President George W. Bush gave 291. President Obama's on the same pace, having given 144 in his first term. President Roosevelt holds the record. He gave over 3,700 executive orders, though he did have longer than everyone else in the White House. Bottom line, love them or hate them, we all have to live under them, at least for a while. Why? Well, that's an order.
I've said it for 7 years. I've said it for longer than 7 years. I have never doped. I can say it again, but I've said it for 7 years. It doesn't help. Why would I then enter into a sport and dope myself up and risk my life again? That's crazy. I would never do that. No way.
That was Lance Armstrong in 2005. He spent more than a decade saying things like that, denying that he'd cheated during his cycling career. This week, he said something different. According to reports, during an interview with Oprah Winfrey, Armstrong admitted to doping, to using performance-enhancing drugs. That interview is airing later this week. The reaction on social media was fast, and a lot of it was angry. One person said, "This guy is a loser and a liar." Another post, "He had the opportunity to be honest from the beginning. Winning was more important." Why is this news getting such an intense reaction? Well, the answer might come from looking at how Lance Armstrong got here. Right as his cycling career was taking off, Armstrong was diagnosed with cancer. It spread to his lungs, stomach, and brain. After surgery in late 1996, he was told he was cancer-free. The next year, he helped create the Livestrong Foundation. Its goal is to benefit cancer research and cancer patients. You've probably seen people wearing the yellow wristbands. You might have worn one yourself. Armstrong's efforts helped that foundation raise millions of dollars. In 1999, less than 3 years after he beat cancer, Armstrong won the Tour de France. Then he won it again and again. A cancer survivor, winning cycling's most famous race 7 times in a row. And despite accusations, always denying that he cheated to do it. Then last year, the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency released a report. It accused Armstrong of being at the center of a very sophisticated doping program while he was winning his Tour de France titles. In the report, former teammates admitted to doping and ways of beating drug tests. The International Cycling Union then stripped Lance Armstrong of all 7 tour titles and banned him from professional cycling for life. Armstrong denied the allegations through all of it until this week. Well, this is something we're talking about on our blog. In the court of public opinion, Lance Armstrong is in deep trouble. And the question we're asking is, will the public ever forgive him? Do you think the public ever should forgive him? You can check it out on our blog. You'll find that on our homepage, cnnstudentnews.com.